marital issues, addictions, all of these and whatever else you can have come into your mind, to you can be a very ugly giant. So Matthew, why don't you read the first verse and tell us what it is?
We're going to read 1 Samuel 17:4. Then a champion named Goliath from Gath came out from the Philistine camp. He was 9 feet 9 inches tall.
9 feet 9 inches tall. Goliath. In the NBA, the tallest NBA basketball player, who is no longer playing, was Manute Bol, who stood 7 feet 7 inches tall. The second tallest NBA player is a Chinese fellow, Yao Ming, who was 7 feet 6 inches tall. This season in the NBA, there are over 11 players with their shoes off who are 7 feet 1 inch tall. Goliath stood 5 feet 1 inches taller than Matthew, the reader, this morning. Still, if you think of basketball, from the floor to the rim, that is 10 feet. Goliath was 3 inches shorter than the span from the floor to that rim. A scary, ugly giant. Very, very scary. Who did not know the Lord Jesus at all. He was, as David called him, an uncircumcised Philistine. Matthew, what else are we going to look at?
Now we're going to read verses 8 through 11. He stood out and shouted to the Israelite battle formations, "Why do you not come out to line up in battle formation?" He asked them, "Am I not a Philistine, and are you not servants of Saul? Choose one of your men and have him come down against me. If he wins in a fight against me and kills me, we will be your servants. But if I win against him and kill him, then you will be our servants and serve us." Then the Philistine said, "I defy the ranks of Israel today. Send me a man so we could fight each other." When Saul and all Israel heard these words from the Philistine, they lost their courage and were terrified.
Matthew, what do you think was the most important portion of that last verse that you just read?
They were terrified?
They were terrified. They had liver shivers. They were beside themselves. They lost their courage. Who would want to go out and fight against Goliath? But also, would you notice this in the translation that you have in front? Philistine, as he taunts the nation of Israel, and he says, "Send out a guy. Just send out a man. Someone who's going to fight against me. Someone who is a servant of who? Servant of Saul." Goliath sees that the army of Israel, they are servants not of the Most High God, not of the Most High God at all. He is taunting them, and he is saying, "You're servants of Saul. Send out a guy, send out one, a champion, someone who is going to fight against me. And here's the deal. You all don't have to die." You know, like, if by chance your champion beats me, won't happen, then we'll be your servants. And if I win, which I know I will, you will be my servants. No wonder nobody wants to go out there. But what we see here is even in his taunting, he is accurate in where the hearts of these people were. They did not see themselves as being servants of the Most High God. Not a man in this army saw that God was on their side, a God who had delivered them time after time after time throughout their history. He delivered them out of the hand of Pharaoh. He had them escape certain death. They crossed the Red Sea. What about Jericho? What about how many other victories did God give them when they realized that they needed the Lord and that in their own strength they are weak? Isn't that the same for you? In your own strength, how much can you do? When you don't abide in the vine, the Lord Jesus Christ, you also are very weak and very helpless. And when you look at the giants that are in your life, you also can have liver shivers and feel so utterly hopeless and helpless. Why don't you read the next passage and tell us what that is going to be, Matthew?
Now we're reading verses 32 through 37. David said to Saul, "Don't let anyone be discouraged by him. Your servant will go and fight this Philistine." But Saul replied, You can't go fight this Philistine. You're just a youth, and he's been a warrior since he was young." David answered Saul, "Your servant has been tending his father's sheep. Whenever a lion or a bear came and carried off a lamb from the flock, I went after it, struck it down, and rescued the lamb from its mouth. If it reared up against me, I would grab it by its fur, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed lions and bears. This uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, for he has defied the armies of the living God." Then David said, "The Lord who rescued me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear will rescue me from the hand of this Philistine." Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you."
We did not read, but when David first showed up at the battlefield in the camp of Israel, his brothers gave him a hard time. "What are you doing here? What are you doing here? You just want to see a fight. That's all. You just want to see what's going to happen, and you enjoy a good fight." And David is saying, he's listening to the taunting. He's listening to the insults that are being laid on the nation of Israel and on Israel's God. David, in what you heard Matthew read, you know, like reading between the lines, David is concerned about God's honor right here. Are you ever concerned about the honor of God when you go through difficulties and challenges and you're facing ugly giants that, you know, if you had nipped them in the bud, as Barney used to say on Andy, just nip it in the bud. Sometimes, you know, you can prevent your giants from growing to be bigger and uglier than they really are. David sees that this giant of a man, Goliath, he is really dissing the God of Israel. This uncircumcised Philistine. And so David is coming and he is telling Saul, "Listen, I will fight Goliath. Me." Now, I do want you to understand, we often think of David as being a little boy. He is a youth. He's a young man. But he is not a kid. He is not a kid. We will see that in maybe the next passage that Matthew reads, not right now, when Saul offers to put his armor on David. But here, look what David has to say. Why does David see that he is qualified? Because he has seen already what God has done for him, and he's only giving a couple of illustrations. And I would say, and I do know that there is a brother here who, when I was preparing for this message during the week, and at the men's Bible study on Friday, I was thinking about this particular illustration. And you know, facing a bear and a lion doesn't seem like a small victory or a small challenge. I'll tell you this much. I don't think I would like to go toe-to-toe with either a lion or a bear. But look what this youth has done. He says, as his resume to King Saul, why should I go and fight this ugly giant? David says, well, I'll tell you what. You know, this is what happened. If a lion or a bear came, and they have taken one of my father's lambs from the flock, as they're running away, I chase them, and I beat the living daylights on the head of this bear or lion to get that sheep back. And you know something? God was with me. God was with me. And if he delivered me from the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear, it's nothing for him to give me the victory against this ugly giant. Who, you know something? In God's eyes, is really not a giant after all. It's not a giant. I mean, God, what can God not do when we call out and cry out to him? And so, what does Saul say to David at the end? What's that last phrase of that verse?
Go and may the Lord be with you.
Go and may the Lord be with us. You know, sometimes Fred Cozen, when he has been here, he just says, you know, one thing we need not pray is that the Lord should be with so-and-so. You know, we shouldn't pray, dear Lord, you know, like may the Lord be with Larry Bushnell, for instance, or Barry Brady. And may the Lord be with the board of Mountaintop as they really are facing some challenges. You know, like, don't we believe by faith that we have been sealed with the Holy Spirit? God is always with us, isn't he? You know, like, don't we take by faith that we belong with him, to him? Don't we understand that he will never forsake us? He will never leave us? He's always with us. What we fail to do is appropriate the presence of the Lord in our life, and that he is concerned about us, and that he uses trials and testing and maybe even giants in our life to make us stronger, to refine us, to stretch our faith, and to really call on him. He wants us to know that our reliance and our help and our strength comes only from him. We have two pages up here, my notes and Matthew's reading. So excuse me while I turn my page. Matthew, why don't you do the next read? Oh, let me just say this before Matthew reads. The bear and the lion that David talks about, I would propose to be small victories. They're not really small victories because it's a lion and a bear, for crying out loud. But can't you think of times in your own life where there were issues that you saw God's hand upon you, giving you the strength to overcome whatever it was that you were afraid of, that you were fearful of? You know, like, think about that. I am sure that every person in this room who knows the Lord Jesus Christ would say they can remember times where they thought, I'm in deep weeds. I'm in serious trouble. God, help me. Lord, help me. I need to be rescued. And he did. He answered your prayer. And you praised the Lord and you were thankful for that. And yet you might be sitting here this morning and there is a mountain of a problem in front of you. And you don't know where you're going to go. But you've already had some small victories. Those small victories prepare you for larger victories. Call on the Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew, what do we see next in the story?
Now we're reading verses 38 through 40. Then Saul had his own military clothes put on David. He had a bronze helmet on David's head and had him put on armor. David strapped his sword on over the military clothes and tried to walk, but he was not used to them. "I can't walk in these," David said to Saul. "I'm not used to them." So David took them off. Instead, he took his staff in his hand and chose five smooth stones from the wadi and put them in the pouch in his shepherd's bag. Then, with a sling in his hand, he approached the Philistine.
All right, so we see that what David does, now that Saul has said, "All right, you're going to go out and fight this giant. I'm glad it's you, David. I'm glad it's not me." David has passed muster, but now Saul is saying, "But you need some help. You need some help. You need some armor, for crying out loud. Otherwise, we're going to see a slaughter." You know, like, Saul is still not too sure what to make of this thing. Now, I had mentioned to you before that I really don't believe David was a kid. He was a young man. He was a young man. Otherwise, it would have been ridiculous for Saul to give him something that didn't, at least was close enough to fit him. So when he put on the armor, he could at least tighten the belt a little bit, but it would still be enough. I mean, it would be suicide in Saul's mind if he put armor, heavy armor, on a kid to kind of like drag through the mail. How can you really fight if you're going on out that way? You can't, because of the weight and everything. So I'm proposing that this armor that Saul was offering to David, and he did try to put it on, and David took a couple of steps and said, "This is just going to hinder me. This is not going to help me at all. I don't need it. I really don't need it." But the picture there for us is, what type of weapons do we need? Really, what type of weapons do we need when we are about the Lord's business? We remind ourselves, we have just gone through a study in 2 Corinthians. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we would read the weapons of our warfare. They're not carnal. We don't need worldly wisdoms and worldly weapons. The weapons that we have to fight the giants in the battles in our life, they are not carnal, but they're mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. And many of the battles that we face and fight are lusts in our heart, times of temptations for sin, and it is really victory when we call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our battles usually are not individuals like Goliath, but we fight against principalities and powers, Satan's agents, who are really trying to defeat us and destroy us, because Satan is known as the destroyer. So he does not take the armor, does he? He takes what? You don't have to read it. You can just tell me.
Okay.
Tell us.
He takes his sling and a walking stick, or his rod, whatever. Yeah. Took a staff and five smooth stones.
Yeah. Sometimes I wonder, why five? He only needed one. But maybe David didn't know that, right? But five stones, who knows? But anyway, let's read next. What happens? He goes out to face the giant, and what do you read in verse, wherever you are, 42?
Now we're reading verses 42 through 44. When the Philistine looked and he saw David, he despised him because he was just a youth, healthy and handsome. He said to David, "Am I a dog that you come against me with sticks?" Then he cursed David by his gods. "Come here," the Philistine called to David, "and I'll give your flesh to the birds of the sky and the wild beasts."
And then you can continue reading 45 through 47, Matthew.
David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with a sword, spear, and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord of armies, the God of the ranks of Israel. You have defied him. Today the Lord will hand you over to me. Today I will strike you down, remove your head, and give the corpses of the Philistine camp to the birds of the sky and the wild creatures of the earth. Then all the world will know that Israel has a God. And this whole assembly will know that it is not by sword or by spear that the Lord saves us. For the battle is the Lord's. He will hand you over to us."
Goliath is now the one who's insulted. The champion is a youth? What? You coming at me like I'm a dog, for crying out loud? Well, this is what I'm going to do with you. You know, at this time in the history of combat, it was pretty common for the combatants or the two armies to spend time before running into battle to insult one another. That's what they'd do. They'd yell at each other. They would curse at each other. And it's sort of like trying to get in their head. But I believe from what you read here, Goliath was really insulted. Look at the champion. Who do they think I am? I'm 9 feet 9 inches tall. You know, like, what is this? Is this a joke? Well, I'll tell you what, this is their idea of a joke. Look what I'm going to do to this young man. He is toast, and it's going to be an ugly scene. But then look what David does. David, not being afraid of this giant, he has a response too. But if you take a look at those verses that Matthew read, look how many times David refers to the Lord or the Most High God. I mean, he is explaining what's going to happen. Hey, listen, you're the one. You're the one, Goliath. You're the one, you big, ugly giant that should really be shaking in your boots, because I am really coming in the strength and power of the Most High God. Your gods, they have hands, but they can't do anything. They have eyes, but they don't see. They have mouths, but they can't speak. Your gods are nothing. Our God reigns. Our God is strength. And today, the Lord is going to hand you over to me. Who's going to do it? The Lord is going to hand you over to me. And I'm going to cut off your head and all of your buddies over there. They are going to be massacred. They are going to be defeated. You know, it just reminds me that David knew that God was much bigger and greater than that big, ugly, giant Goliath. Actually, from God's perspective, I said this before, the giant was really no giant at all, but a defeated pipsqueak of a man, an uncircumcised Philistine. 1 John 5. Verse 4, I'm going to read this as the last verse, and then we'll close in prayer. In fact, Matthew, this was not on your sheet, but could you please read this? 1 John 5, verse 4.
Okay, 1 John 5, verse 4. "Because everyone who has been born of God conquers the world. This is the victory that has conquered the world, our faith."
And then why don't you read this closing sentence here?
"Our confident, unwavering faith in God brings victory. It is not what you bring to the battle, it's who you bring to the battle."
That's right.
"We were made for his glory."
It's not what you bring, it's always who you bring to the battle against those giants. Let's close in prayer. We thank you so much for this reminder, dear Lord, that we know that you have given to us everything we need for life and godliness in Christ Jesus. We are never alone. You are always with us. When we face challenges, trials, things that cause concern in our life, even when we make them up to be huge problems, big, ugly giants, we know that we have the victory through Jesus Christ himself. We pray that you would help us to just remember that you are always with us, that you love us, that you care for us, that you will provide for our every need. Help us to learn to run to you first and never allow the problems and issues in our life to grow, to become bigger than they really are. Our imaginations run wild, but you are always able, and you are faithful. Thank you so much for giving us your Holy Spirit. Thank you so much that we can learn from your word and from those who have lived before us and have experienced victory through the Lord himself. We pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, I cut into 3 minutes.